Do you know what I found really was made more important than taxes to me as a child? It's quicksand.
Oh, everything. Oh, yes. The amount of fear instilled in kids about quicksand through movies and books is not proportionate to the amount of times you will encounter it in real life. Yes.
So I told, because I remember.
Well, it gets everywhere if you go by what you're told as a kid.
Yeah, and it's like I was scared to go on the beach because I'm like, I don't know what's quicksand. Like you cannot tell.
And here's what experts say. Just lay down.
Yeah.
Somebody will get you.
And then my mom's like, Drew, you know how slow quicksand is? I'm like, Mom, I know you're lying because they wouldn't have called it quicksand if it was slow.
Yeah, slow sand.
Yeah, come to find out it actually is. Like, it takes you 45 minutes.
It's essentially meandering sand.
Yeah, and it's just I'm telling you, man, as a kid, that was actually
they
a fear.
Act like so much, usually cartoons and stuff. I grew up.
Oh, no,
like,
it's quicksand. By the time they get to the where sand is all the way up
there.
It's
like it's eating them. Yes, it's not just they're sinking. It's not just depending on gravity.
Where you go.
Yeah.
Is there a hole under the sand, or is it literally you're just in sand?
That's the thing. Wouldn't you eventually hit the bottom and just be standing there, still shoulders away? Yeah. That's it? That's what I've been worried about?
Start going down. I pray that. First of all, if you start sinking and you're dumb enough to say, oh no, quicksand, and not move a muscle.
Again, the name, if you have time to do that, it's not that quick.
No. I was expecting as a child, I'd be running in the woods, and all of a sudden, whoosh, I'm neck deep.
The whole town comes out we told him.
Yep,
it's going to get him one day.
Hey.
All right, here we go. Woo. Welcome to the Goose Grace, because all the good names are taken. My name is Dan Amos, and I'm here with geologist extraordinaire.
Mr. Dr. Drew Dr. Meadows.
I love how both your first and last names denote
that's
the doctorates
doctor. I
that's
have.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to spread them out. You don't want to have them all in one spot.
And let me say, if your leg's broke, unless it's literally you pick it up and just goes down, I can't tell you. But if it's a rock, I can tell you if it's a rock or not.
Yes.
Nothing about the rock, but I can tell
but
you if it's a rock.
It's a rock or
yeah.
not. See, I don't know. I feel like there could be some rocks out there that look like
you also give me a rock, I can tell you the weather.
If the rock's wet, it's raining.
Yeah, and if the rock's not there, it's very windy.
If it's moving rocks, well, welcome to the Goose
Grease. You got to put it on a string, though. That's the key.
Where are we talking about?
Because if it's moving, it's a little windy. But if it's completely gone.
I see why the Mosaic of Marion doesn't have you on.
I'm telling you.
It's
been officially a year and a half.
I'm gonna start a campaign to bring Drew back.
Well, I think there's only it might be opposition and a half.
We're gonna have an episode where it's just you and your dad, and it's gonna be the Mosaic of Meadows. It is gonna be amazing.
I don't know if you want that. It'd be an argument halfway through it.
We couldn't tell who was talking. That's the only problem. So much.
Well, it's crazy. So me and Dad rode somewhere last night. We went to the Danville Golf and Social to play golf with a couple of our buddies, and he got in the car, and I'm like, why are you listening to the Goose of Grace right now? I hate my voice. I was like, dude, I hate my voice. Like, quit.
Oh,
he's like,
same way.
Dude, it's my voice. This is the Mosaic Mary. And I was like, oh, sorry.
I hate your voice too.
Sorry. We sound similar.
You think it's bad. Last week I had to edit the Goose of Grace, which I'm on.
which I kind of co-host.
I jump in every now and then. The Mosaic of Mary.
The last four episodes, you've taken control.
I'm really being assertive here lately. And then my video courses that I did for Marion Baptist Church. Then I preached, so I had to edit that. I am so sick of hearing my voice. It is bad. And I don't hear an accent unless I go back and listen to myself. And I'm like, so then what we're going to do? We're going to turn that page right there. We're going to get it.
Like molasses. Yeah, it's spilling out of your mouth.
It just flows right out.
And the words of Andy Bernard.
Yes. Nard dog. We love you, man. All right.
Do-do-do-do.
So.
People are going to be like, who is this dude they're talking about? He's a fictional person. Yeah, he does not exist.
Absolutely fictional. But so we're in the middle of the circle of greats. Or the triangle, as some of us try to point out.
But we're not the Illuminati.
We're not the Illuminati. They led some folks astray last week.
Nor are we, what's the Harry Potter thing with the triangle, the circle?
I'm not a Potterhead.
Oh, well, okay. Deathly Hallows.
Oh, I've heard of that. I've never seen a single Harry Potter movie.
But you heard of the Deathly Hallows?
Yeah, I have. I heard, because is it in the title of one of them? It is in the title, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's the title of the last two.
Okay. But we were talking about that last week. We talked about the great love, which when we're talking about loving God, we show that through being obedient. And now we're going to talk about the great commandment. And we're going to show you how those two things are tied together.
Yes.
Yes. Hey, Drew. It's that time again.
Yeah. I prayed last week, so you...
Are you sure? Read.
Yes.
Man, I have no memory whatsoever.
You know what's crazy? I never remember what you do. I just remember what I did, and so then I'm just
Well, that's okay. I don't expect you to keep up with me.
Yeah, even though it's very easy, it's just the opposite of what I did.
So we are reading...
Mark chapter 22, verse 34 through 40.
You know what? I was getting there. I had to look. I had to take my glasses off so I could read, which makes so much sense. But yes, Mark chapter 22, verses 34 through
40.
40.
We finished the sentences. Love it.
Only because you cut me off when I'm in the middle of it.
Hey, that's all how right. You finish somebody's sentence. Like, they're okay. I've never met a person that's like, somebody else is going to pick this sentence up like halfway through.
I'm not doing all the heavy lifting. Yeah. I'm going
to
take a break.
Yeah, so, somebody else has to finish it. No, like you have to cut somebody off to finish it. Like, I'm not just going to start a sentence and just.
So there I was.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to do that. Like, if you do that, first of all, you're a horrible storyteller. Second of all, you have way
and
too much
I'm
faith.
I'm going to get really annoyed with Drew. I'll be like, so there I was. Drew, let's move
eating
on.
eating molasses salad.
Oh, man. So let's get started. I'll read. Apparently,
no,
Drew's going to pray.
I'm reading. You're praying.
You said you prayed last?
Yes.
That's why you were trying to say the... Oh, boy. It's going to be a wild one.
Y'all going to hear a lot of Drew tonight. I can tell you what this is.
I'm just going to ramble, apparently.
He's either
going
to ramble or he's just going to be like, you know what? I give up and just stop halfway. So it's either going to be a Dan Hard episode or Drew Hard. It's not going to be back and forth.
So you read and I'll do the other thing.
Yeah.
Go that way.
All right. So
just close my eyes to pray. Oh, well, this is painful.
Man, all right. So
I'm glad the camera's on me today. It's going to be great.
All right, here we go. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
Great job reading, sir. I'm going to pray because that's what I do.
All right, we can only pray.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we can spend together in your word. We thank you for the gift of laughter. But Lord, even more so, we thank you for the gift of your wisdom and knowledge passed down through your word. We're thankful that every time we encounter it, we come away closer to you, just not only closer to you, but wanting to be even closer, desiring to be more like Christ because of your word. So, Heavenly Father, we pray that this not just be a time for us to chat, but for people to learn more about you and want to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going to refuse to talk since you said it was going to be me.
I was trying to see how long we could go. I realized this is a podcast, so they're just quiet.
I wish I had the camera on both of us because that was beautiful.
I've never held my breath to be quiet. And so first things first, we have to look at... it's the first thing now because this is the first time we talked about Scripture.
What are you going to talk about first?
Is who asked the question?
Yeah, oh, we're on... Mind melt. We're right there.
Finish each other's thoughts. What am I thinking of?
That's it. Blank. Nothing.
No, it's iguanas. Oh, all right. So it's a lawyer, you know? And yep. A lawyer's job is, like, their job is to make people confused, is to confuse people, to get people to trip up on their story. And so, like
your definition. I was going to say discernment. He's supposed to. That's a judge, though, not
yeah,
a lawyer.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm tracking with
like,
you.
Like, you're supposed to, like their job is to poke holes in somebody's story, yeah. You know? And so, right here, what he's trying to do is poke hole in
well, what's
in Jesus'
the verb there?
Hole.
Test him.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the whole point. He's not coming for a better understanding. He's coming to put Jesus on trial, essentially, yeah. To say, hey, you know, And we see this so many times. They ask Jesus a question that they think
is going to trip
him
up.
Yeah, that they can turn it around and make him look bad.
And they can say, "See, this man is not the Messiah. Yeah. This man
and
is not."
Every time he puts them to shame, it's beautiful.
It's key that, because a lot of people are like, why would you have to say what he like? Because like this, it wasn't just an average Joe coming in with his question. This was a well thought out question. This dude
thought about it. He was educated.
Because like you said, he was going with the intent to test, which means he thought about this question beforehand.
Yep,
he had been marinating on this question, thinking about trying to figure out the best question when he came face to face with Jesus to get him confused and to get him to stumble upon on his own words, on himself, and everything.
And I get this picture of him like, and I've seen people do this before. Like they have the question and they think of every possible answer. And so he's like, no matter where Jesus goes with this, I can disprove him. I can make him look like a fool. And he fails.
A lot of times, though, I think we confuse this with people questioning God's, God. Like, hey, God, why are you doing this? God, why are you doing
this? Right, right.
This is meant not to just be like, hey, God, I don't know what you're doing. Like, can you, just fill
like,
me
not,
in?
Not genuine. Like wanting to understand better.
Yes. And that's the key is the intent of
it. Yep, absolutely. That's
like
great
lawyers
point.
Coming at it with, hey, I'm trying to confuse Jesus.
Yep.
I'm trying to show that I'm smarter than Jesus and he's a fraud. And sometimes when you're questioning God, like you're just simply, like you said, you want to understand better.
Ooh.
It's not that you want, you're trying to get God confused, you're trying to trip God up, or you're trying to take control. You're confused and want God to explain what he's doing. You're not trying to get in the way. You just won't understand.
And what he's really doing here isn't just trying to trip him up. He's questioning Jesus's identity. You can question God, just like you said, what are you doing, God? I don't understand. I want to know what's going on. But you can't question his identity as God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where you're in the wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think so often when we feel like we get in these situations where we're like, I
can't question him.
I can't question him. I want to question. Go. Like, God wants to have a conversation
with you. He wants you to be interested in his kingdom. Absolutely.
And no, he doesn't want you to try to test him. Don't do that. But no, he wants you to talk to him. He wants to converse. He wants that, in a relationship. Like, you're in a relationship. He wants to hear you.
Yep.
And sometimes it's just simply you going, God, like I'm trusting in you. I have full faith in what you're doing. I just want to know what's
going
on.
Something.
Yeah. Talk to me here. Yeah. Because we see it in Psalm 13 with David. Like, he's like, God, show yourself,
Yes.
And he's not sitting here saying, you're not God. But what he's saying is, God, I know you're up there. I know you can fix it. You're not. You're quiet. Talk to me.
Let me know what's happening. Yeah. And he doesn't owe you that, but a lot of times he'll give you that because it shows that you're wanting to be an active part of his kingdom.
Yeah, and you're looking you're looking for, and here's the key, you're looking for his will.
Yeah. Ooh.
Not your will.
Beautifully said, sir.
And so then we go on. And he says, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Again, trying to test him.
Yep.
And notice, you shall love the Lord, right? And so right here, I always see this at, what's the thing the Native Americans used to have? Totem pole. Was that Native Americans?
Yes.
Okay.
I was going TP. But
no. Well, that had nothing to do with what I was saying, though. Like,
context
clues, man. Totem pole.
How does that have anything to do? What?
Okay. Once I explain it, you'll be like, okay, that makes sense.
All right.
All right. And so, the top of the totem pole is the biggest God.
Yes.
And you get all the way down to the
little
smaller
God.
Yeah. And so this is in my mind when I'm imagining God doing this.
I'm looking at it.
You're really looking at
it. I see that. I see that totem pole.
And so, wow. But what I imagine is God making a totem pole, saying, "Hey, look, love God first. And I'm up here at the top.
Yeah.
And then he goes a step farther and says, "Hey, love your neighbor. Everyone else is
there's
second.
There's an organization
and
there.
Then,
right. Yeah.
And then context clues here: if God's first, everyone else is second. Yeah. That means you're last, and so that's kind of
No fun.
Yeah, it is, but it's okay.
Like that's how we treat it, at least.
Yeah, and so, but that's that. Like that's the vision I'm getting is Jesus saying, "Look, this is the order of operation here. Let's focus on this." And that's why he goes a step farther, because he would answer the question if he was stopped.
Oh yeah.
But he wanted the Pharisees to fully understand.
Well, so when you look at it, this is what's so amazing about it, and this is why I want to build on this next week. I'll give you a spoiler here. We're going to talk about the Great Commission. And the reason we started with the great love, which is if you love God, the greatest way you can show your love is through obedience. Is
and then God tells us,
yeah,
to
then
love
if you
him.
Apply that and you say the greatest thing, the greatest commandment is to love God, then by the connections we can build there, we can say, okay, then it's also to obey him. Well, then if I love him, we've established if I love him, I'm going to obey him. If I love him and I obey him, the next thing is he says to love others like ourselves.
And the Great Commission, and the most loving thing you can do is point people to heaven.
Don't spoil the whole. That's our big point next. Wait till next week, Drew.
Well, hey,
now
there
numbers
go.
Are dropping next week. Thanks a lot. From two to negative four.
They might want to hear my intro story, so we might get a couple of listens with that.
Oh man, but yeah, these things not only agree with each other, but they build on each other. And so the beautiful thing about it is, I don't have to know anything about my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't have to know anything about anybody. All I need to know is who I serve, and that's King Jesus. And King Jesus told me to love others the way that I want people to love me, essentially. And so what does that look like? Well, first of all, I want people to recognize that I'm God's creation. Go ahead.
No, I'll save it for next week.
So this is where things are going could go awry or get great. We'll see how it goes. All right. So here's my thing. So first of all, who does it mean to love? Who am I supposed to love?
You said that question three different ways.
So and who am last, I supposed to love? I'll put it that way.
The last one was correct, but the first one I don't think it was anything.
Wait,
right.
What was that one?
You said who love. And then he stopped. I don't know where you were going, but that, first of all, grammatically, it was atrocious.
But, the word blender. But who am I supposed to
love? Yeah, you're supposed to love God.
Okay. And then who after that?
Your neighbor.
Okay. Who's my neighbor?
Me.
Sorry, I didn't know you had moved.
I'm your neighbor right now.
But, well, yeah, we co-host, neighbor, but the idea is that
is everyone.
Yeah, the idea
you.
Is that is everyone. There's no specifics there, and so I can't just love those I agree with. I can't just love those that you know build me up and make me feel good about myself. I'm commanded, and that's the beautiful thing. This is called the Great Commandment, not the Great Suggestion, not the Great. Hey, if you got time, the Great Commandment. We're commanded to love others regardless of who they are.
And then notice, Jesus takes a step farther. Because then he tells the Pharisees how they're supposed to love God.
Mm.
You know, he doesn't just end it right there. Hey, you love God. No, he takes it a step farther. And see, this is I'm just gonna be really clear. I'm gonna be real honest. And it's okay if you get mad. We'll just go from again.
Okay,
because
I'm getting ready to hit a point that's gonna make you mad too. So we'll lose everybody.
What this is all saying: all your heart, all your mind, all your soul.
Yep.
That is everything you have.
You got nothing left. Yeah. Yeah.
Everything God cares about
yep.
is right in those three things. That covers everything about you. And so what God is saying is you have to love God with everything.
Yep.
We in America and in churches have lost that.
We love God with about 45 minutes of our week.
What we do is we say, you shall love the Lord your God, period.
Yep.
Because we can't give him all of us.
Yep.
Because we want to dabble in as much sin as possible and still get to heaven.
We want to be co-owners.
Yes, we want to still have as much fun as possible and sin as much as possible. Yes, and sin as much as possible and do what we want to do as much as possible. And we're so scared to give God everything.
And what we don't get, and is so stupid, we don't get that the reason we're missing out is because we keep holding on. We're afraid we're going to miss out if we give everything to God. No, we're missing out because we hold on to it, and so we try to take ownership. Well, the problem is, number one, we can't own something that Jesus already paid the price for.
How can Jesus command us to do this?
Because he's God.
Yeah, but it's the specific answer I'm looking for.
Okay. Because he paid the
okay,
price
no, you're not gonna get it. Yes, actually, yes. Yeah. He can say this because
you said no, and then
well,
you're
where
never
you're going.
Gonna get it. It's impossible.
I thought you might say he's Jesus. I'm like, no, that's not
because
it.
Because he paid the price for
yes,
it.
Yes,
he owns
because
it.
If you go to John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he is loving yes. you with everything he has yes. already. His love is abundant. Mm. He loves you more than you could ever be loved in your life with from people
or you
here
love
on
yourself,
earth.
Even
yes,
yeah.
and And so, yes, he can say this because he already does it to us. Even when we don't love him, he loves us.
Yep.
Even when we are unlovable to him, yep, he still loves us.
Absolutely. And I want to point out, like, this small little dig. I love this little dig here. Okay. So how does he say to love others?
Oh, yeah, as yourself. And he's looking at the most
self-loving people you could imagine.
Those people, they're like, they thought the law ended with them.
Yep. And so for him to be like, hey, love them as much as you love yourselves. And I know that's a bunch. Like, I mean, I just love that little, and it's so accurate. Like, it's not unwarranted. It's not like he's being mean. He's telling the truth there. All right. So here's the deal. This is the part that's going to probably get me in trouble. We say, well, what's the big deal about loving others as we love ourselves? What's the big deal of sharing that love in that Christ showed us? And here's the big deal. You want to start seeing the world change, you start doing this. You start showing other people love, regardless of who they are and regardless of who they think they are. And this is where I'm going to get on my high horse. Somebody can think that they're not created by God. Somebody cannot believe in God and say, I just appeared here out of some primordial ooze, whatever. That doesn't change the fact that they're God's creation, created in his image to glorify him. Now, what that means isn't this universalism where everybody goes to heaven because God made them. No, what it means is that they are living a lie, not recognizing they're God's creation, and that we have to show them the love of Christ so they can begin to recognize that. And we can apply that in so many places where we instead want to apply legalism or whatever. You want to see a drop in abortion? You start loving single mothers that don't have an outlet, don't think they have any other way. You want to stop seeing this rapid growth that we're seeing in the trans community, LGBTQ, all of that. You start loving people like Christ did so that they understand that there was no mistake. And this is where they get people. They tell people, well, if you don't feel right, you must be a mistake. You've got to change who you are. You've got to change your identity. Then the moment they do, they say, well, you're perfect just the way you are. You're great. Why would anybody tell you to change? And so if we approach them in truth and show them the love of Jesus Christ, why in the world would they not understand that God made them, that they are not a mistake? I think so many of these people were told by somebody they're not good enough, so they got to change. If we start effectively showing the love of Jesus Christ, they'll understand, and we won't have to keep trying to come up with laws to fix this, that, and the other thing. It'll happen because of God's grace and his love. Boom.
1 John chapter 3, verse 10, and I'm going to read till I might read to 15. It says, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder his brother? Murder him because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death.
Mm.
Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him.
It's almost like it's not a suggestion.
I mean, exactly. Like, John right here is saying, he's saying, look, if you hate your brother, you don't have Christ in you.
Yeah,
have Christ.
Like, that's pretty strong wording there. Like, essentially, you're not part of the family of God if you hate your brother.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love so much about this is again, this fact that there's a very specific order he went in. Love God. And again, to love God is to be obedient to God. And then he goes into that. So what I want to point out is that points us to the fact that there is a right way to love our brothers. Okay, mm-hmm. There is a right way, and it's the way defined by Christ. It's the way defined by God through his word of loving others. And that's the problem we have today is so often now, if I supposedly love you, I have to agree with everything you've ever done. I have to agree with everything you say. And if not, I'm a horrible person.
All right.
I'm getting ready to let loose the Drew. Hit it, man. Hit it strong. We got time.
So I was watching the Super Bowl, and this probably is going to take the rest of our time.
All right, we got 7 minutes. Let's go.
I was watching the Super Bowl, and this commercial comes on. Everyone talked about it, and everyone said how much they loved it. And,
the foot washing?
Yes.
The foot washing.
And I took about 24 hours to kind of interpret I read a lot of people's posts.
Oh, it's been all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah, I've read people's posts about it. I've read Christians. I've read non-Christians. Yeah. I've read people making fun of it. I've read people like, oh, this is it. This,
yeah.
I've watched it many times. And first of all, Jesus does not get us. He does not get us.
Explain.
Jesus
died
for us.
Yes.
He doesn't get us.
This is right along the same lines of those people. You say Jesus is my homie.
Yes.
You know.
Jesus doesn't.
No, he's the king of
kings. Because if he gets us, he accepts us.
Yeah.
He doesn't accept us.
Where we're at, right.
Yes. Absolutely. The last image is what really, really got me.
All right. Keep going. I got you.
You know, there was someone with alternative lifestyle, and there's a pastor washing his feet.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were like, that's what the church should be. No, no.
Yep.
Jesus washed the disciples' feet.
Yeah.
He did not wash everyone's feet. Yes, and he washed Judas's feet.
Yeah.
He loved Judas.
Yeah. Yep.
But what we have to understand is Jesus does not accept how they're living their life.
Love is not the same as acceptance.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And what that commercial was broadcasting was acceptance.
And let me tell you, it's interesting that came up because I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I'm that guy. All right. But I heard the rumblings about the commercial. And I looked up who makes commercials. Commercials made by the same group that it's a whole campaign. Across social media of he gets us. That's literally what the website I think even is. And so the problem here is that it seems like a thin line, but it's super important. So Jesus understands us because he was human, absolutely. But here's the thing, he doesn't accept us in our sin as we are. We are only accepted once we're covered by his righteousness that he offered through being God, being perfect, living that holy life, and being sacrificed and paying the debt for our sins. That's the only way we get his righteousness so that we're accepted. What's being taught, and Paul warns against this, and here we are, is this false doctrine. Of, oh man, these guys make Jesus this religious figure and you've got to be perfect and yada yada. Don't worry about any of that. Just love him and I'm sorry, but it's almost as dangerous as this whole thing going around. Love is love. No, there is a God-defined, biblically defined way to love someone. And it's not these alternative lifestyles. Now, with all that being said, don't get us wrong. We're not raging against this. What we're saying is, in a biblical sense, we're meant to love everyone regardless of whether they live these lifestyles or not, because we don't care what it's called. Sin is sin. No sin is greater than the other. And so what we've got to do is say, we love you. We don't accept this as acceptable as a way to live and still be in the family of God, because we start and stop on God's word, and this is what it says. There's our rant for today. Boom. We may lose our sponsorship.
And I mean, if you don't agree with me, like that's cool. Like, we'll agree to disagree.
We still love you, but
yeah,
we don't accept you.
Yeah, I do. I still love you. Like, it was a great commercial. Great. It wasn't a great commercial.
Oh, the production value was great.
It was. It looked like AI made it, but that's just me. As much as still pictures.
I wonder if it was.
I think it was. But yeah.
I get you.
Like you said it perfectly. There's a line.
Yep.
And they jumped over the line.
Yeah.
But then they erased the
line. Pay no attention to that.
And they made a new line.
Moved it.
It was like you know, like with the Bugs Bunny where he would draw a line, they would move the line like that. And God, this is how it is. God loves you. He loves you for who you are.
Yep.
But he does not accept your sins.
He's not going to sacrifice his holiness because you don't want to live to his standard. And you can't live to his standard, but you can accept righteousness through Jesus Christ.
And he even says, our righteousness are a filthy rag.
Yep.
Guys.
So what in the world does our filth look like?
If you truly love God, like, this is exactly what we're saying. Yeah. Like, what we're saying is going against that commercial. Because what we're saying is, if you truly love Jesus as what they're saying you should do, you will be obedient to God, because that's what God calls us to do in that show of love. And so if you're saying, well, Drew, the church needs to accept them, cool. Like, okay, cool.
Be part of our church. Come
but
in.
But that doesn't mean they come in and say, hey, God accepts
as righteous.
Yes, accepts what you do for righteous. No, first of all, I do is not righteous.
Yeah,
what I do. So we're going to say, well, because the mainstream media accepts you, you're righteous. No, yeah, I'm sorry. Absolutely. I don't care if you come in and you are the best person in the whole world. You've told one little white lie when you were 5 years old. The rest of your life, you lived perfectly, and you're 78. You are still a sinner. Yeah. God does not accept you, just like He doesn't accept that person who's murdered a whole family.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm trying to get people to understand. I'm not sitting here staring at you saying you're worse than me. We are on an even plane. But what I do is I repent of my sins and understand how worthless
I
am.
The righteousness of Christ.
Yes. You, on the other hand, are trying to put God's righteousness on you and not repent of your sins and say, this is what righteousness looks like. No, it is not. Yep. He does not get you. He wants you. He does not get you because He cannot look upon sin.
Yep.
He can't be in the presence of sin. So if there is no repentance, there is no change.
Boom. We need cameras on you today, let me tell you.
It's so frustrating because I've had so many people say, that just made me cry. Great, I'm glad it did. You're riding that emotionalism, great. But if you look,
you cry because it's broke down theology.
If you look at what it's saying, it's completely wrong.
And that's why, I'm going to get,
Jesus loves every person in those pictures.
Yeah, don't get that twisted. Yeah, absolutely.
But He didn't accept them.
Right.
Let me clarify with the accept them, because a lot of people, he didn't accept.
In their current state.
He does not accept their sin.
Yeah, yep.
He does not accept their sin. If they're not repenting, and if they're standing on that sin,
right,
He's not going to let them into heaven.
Now, and don't get us wrong, that doesn't mean we shouldn't reach out to them, we shouldn't serve them, we shouldn't, you know, all of that. But it means that we've got to draw a line, a hard line in the sand of saying, this is what the Bible says, and this is where I start and stop.
I'm just going to be honest. If Paul was alive, we would have got a letter for that commercial.
Oh, yeah.
We would have got a letter for that commercial.
Yeah. All right. Oh, man, final thought. You got anything left in the tank? Are you good? Because I got to pray us out, apparently. So.
I have a lot I want to say.
Wait till we get part two next week.
Yeah, love God.
Yeah. Well, mine's right there. If you love God, you'll be obedient. Boom.
That was
cool. I know, I'm trying really hard not to. We already talked about it. I know, I got you. Let's pray, man.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your word and the fact that it does not change. We can stand on it knowing full well that it comes from you. And so according to that word, if we love you, the way we show it is through obedience. So Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would give us an obedient heart. And through that obedience, we would be obedient in our love for you, but also our love for others that you showed us through Jesus Christ, the way you define it and not the way this world defines it. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. And I'm not going to try to close this out because I messed it up badly.
Yes. Hey, it's a great day to have a great day. So have a great day.
Same with you, sir.